chapter of the book of St. John, beginning with verse number 1. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for this day and this opportunity that you've given us. And Father, for the desire that you've placed in our hearts to meet here this morning together in one mind and one accord. Father, we pray for this entire congregation. I pray, God, that you know each and every need there is this morning. God, we know, Lord, that you are a prayer-answering God. I pray right now, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, anoint my mind, my soul, my body, God, to be led by your Spirit as nothing more than a vessel and an oracle, that the Holy Ghost may speak to us this morning. And we will be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And we'll be so careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You may be seated. I know that this is a very familiar story. That's what I told the Lord when the Lord laid it upon my heart. But how many knows we never tire of hearing God's Word? Amen. And in seeing in God's Word what He would have us to see, what He would have us to hear, and what He would have us to obey. I never get tired of hearing and going over God's Word. This morning I want to bring a message entitled, Small Fish, Big Opportunity. Small Fish, Big Opportunity. One of the disciples said, Lord, we don't have enough. We don't even have enough money. He said 200 penny worth of bread would not be enough to feed them all. Bible reference and Bible history tells us that this is equivalent to that particular time, a half a year's salary. And the disciples said, even if we had so-called a half a year's salary, it would not be enough to feed the 5,000 men and women that are here today that has come out, amen, to be in your ministry, to follow your miracles. And that's what mainly they were doing. They were following Jesus because he was the healer of their diseases, the healer of their afflictions, and certainly there was a multitude that followed after him. Andrew, however, found a lad with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fishes. This is very interesting to me and always has been, because the Bible tells us that they were out basically in a mountainous area and had traveled some distance from their home. It is amazing to me that out of that 5,000, only one person took the opportunity to prepare a lunch, knowing that they would probably be gone from their home at least a day, and even maybe so more than that as the evening began to wear on. It never ceases to amaze me that these people went out on this journey unprepared, but that in itself is another story. I was thinking about, as I was reading and preparing, something that my dad said a long, long time ago. My dad was always horsing around or wrestling around with some of the older cousins, and some of the older cousins, when they began to get a little bigger in age, they wanted to take Daddy on and wrestle with him, and they told him, said, we're going to take you down today. And my daddy's response in his kind of sarcastic way was, you better bring your lunch because it's going to take you all day. In other words, you better come prepared. And I thought, how many times we go into the service of God unprepared? How many times
that we just leave our home with everything else on our mind. And finally, when we get to church, thank God that somebody, thank God that one person, amen, had the foresight to come to church prepared. And when I say prepared, they had already prayed before they ever came into the sanctuary. They had already had their mind made up. It was going to be a good service. You know, a lot of people come saying, well, what are you going to bless me with today? Give me that one person that'll come in and say, whatever God decides to do today, I'm all in. Amen. I'm expecting a mighty move of God. I'm expecting people's lives to be changed. I'm expecting miracles to be performed. Because we are entering into the presence of an almighty God. Would you agree with me this morning that there is absolutely nothing that our God can't do? Amen. You ever been healed? You ever been blessed? You ever been anointed? Have you ever had a spiritual door of opportunity open up? Then you know what I'm talking about. This one lad took the foresight to bring a small lunch. Now, I thought about this lunch and I thought about maybe, I don't know if any of his family members with him or not. It's either just enough for him or maybe enough for one other person. The way that I read the history about these five barley loaves and these two small fishes. And then herein lies the question. The question that I want to be embedded in our heart today and in our spiritual walk with the Lord is the question that Andrew, amen, gave or questioned the Lord when he said, he basically said, there's a lad here. Andrew was stepping out on a little bit of faith. Many of us can relate to that, a little bit of faith. What is a little bit of faith? Well, I know God can, but will he? Well, you know, that's a mighty big thing, you know, but I'm not doubting God. I just don't, you know, that's a little bit of faith. And Andrew says to Jesus, there is a lad here. And he uses the adjective two small fishes and five barley loaves. But then he follows that up with this question that I want embedded in our heart today. What is that, or what are they among so many? Can I tell you, this week God has challenged me with that phrase. Not once, not twice, but a number of times. And I want us to get our minds spiritually in tune to what God would have us to receive from this scripture this morning. Herein lies more than just a snack. More than just Jesus' ability to feed the multitude. I believe with all of my heart that everything that Jesus did while on this earth was a sort of ministry for the benefit of not only those that were around him and immediately touched, but the benefit of those of us who would come after to walk in a Christian life and to be able to grow and be enriched by the stories and the parables and the healings of our Lord and Savior. I believe that we can glean from this morning if we have an open mind, amen, an open heart, and faith to believe what Jesus is trying to speak to us. Again, the Lord kind of dealt with me over and over. What am I among so many? Would you agree with me this morning, if nothing more than just the nod of your head, that there needs to be evangelism in the world today? There needs to be a Holy Ghost revival in the land today. Amen. We were in the mountains this week and took the grandkids, two of them, and naturally we could not pass by the go-karts. It's cold, but Papa, we'll be all right. We can ride the go-kart. I got a boggin. So we go up and we're about to get in line to ride the golf carts, and Kylie was big enough to drive one on her own, but Trey was at that age. He was not quite tall enough, so they said, you'll have to ride with him. I had no plans to ride with him, but I was going to have to ride with him, and so we got in, and we took off, and you know, every once in a while on those go-karts, you get one that's slow. It's like the governor. You got your foot as far as in the pedals you can go, and it's just trudging along. We had a fast one. And about that third lap, I'm beginning to enjoy this. I mean, we are getting it. we're getting around those curves, going down those hills, and we're going around the curves, and I'm not letting up. I'm not letting up off the pedal. And when you go around those curves, those tires are so slick, you begin to slide a little bit. And that was tickling me, man. We were just sliding around, going, and all at once, Trey said, "Papa, we're drifting. We're drifting." And we lapped Kylie. We found her and lapped her. She had one of them slow ones. And I didn't pay too much attention to that, but the rest of the week, that burned in my heart. "Papa, we're drifting. We're drifting." And I began to think, "Lord, we're drifting. We've been sailing along and everything going good, and we see needs around us. We have loved ones who need a walk with the Lord. We have a government who needs the prayers of a nation. Amen. We have schools. Amen. We have terrible things going on in our neighborhoods and in our lives. We need to be praying. We think that the only time we need to pray is when we want something or when we need something. Open up our spiritual eyes. We're drifting. We're drifting. Drifting. We need to pray one for another. And when we pray one for another, we need to pray for our community, our families, our jobs, our schools, everything. There's a long list of things that you and I as Christians need to be praying for." And then comes Andrew. "Well, there's a lad here who has two small fishes and five loaves." I want to rephrase that, if I might. Here's an attitude that comes in the church where we're just a small congregation. What can we do among so many? Let me bring it on down. I'm just an individual. What can I do? What kind of difference could I make? Let me tell you what kind of difference you can make. I wish that time would allow. I wish I had the opportunity to bring Moses here to have him testify, to tell you what one person can do when he's anointed by the power of God. I wish I could tell you, amen, about what Daniel was able to do when he was in a captive environment. Amen. He still opened up his window and he prayed three times a day. Don't tell me we don't have the right to pray. We've got the right to pray. Amen. Everywhere we go, it may not be politically correct, but I can pray without my lips moving. I can pray to Almighty God, and I need to be praying every day of my life, everywhere that I'm going. Yes, one individual can make a great difference when he's anointed by the power of God. What are they among so many? I love it. Jesus never answered his question. It reminded me when I was a young boy, and I would ask a ridiculous question to my mom and my dad. When I knew what the answer was. David, did you ever do that? Did you ever ask mom and dad something and you knew what the answer was going to be? And they just looked at you and never answered you. And you turned around and walked off. Just like I did. Because I knew what the answer was. Andrew, a disciple, follower of Christ, had witnessed the miracles of Jesus. Seen blinded eyes open, seen the deaf ears unstopped, seen the lame man walk. And he talks to Jesus and said, "Well, there is a lad here. There's a little bit of substance here. But it'll never feed everybody. Amen. It'll never spill out. This little congregation will never be able to spill out on Villa Rica. I beg to differ." Glory to God. Amen. We got to have something going on for them to come see what's going on. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If we get in one mind and one accord, it'll spread like wildfire. Glory to God. When the Lord begins to touch and deliver, and we see lame people healed, we see people who lost, and the society has given up on them, and they come into an altar of repentance, and Jesus saves them and fills them with His Spirit, that'll go around. It'll begin to spread. Amen. Hallelujah. What am I among so many? Lord, it's just two small fishes and five loaves. But what are they among so many? Jesus didn't even answer him. And this is what he said. Make the men sit down. One definition says, make the people sit down. Many, many times when the Bible gave numbers, it was just the men, but it was inclusive of men, women, and children together. Now, what is significant about making the men sit down? Some of you Bible scholars and Bible readers and historians will understand this when you realize and you read into Bible times when they were getting ready to eat, they didn't pull up a chair. They usually reclined or propped up in order around a table. Amen. How many read that? Didn't pull up a chair. Most of the times when they prepared to eat, the disciples, really, that's not a good depiction of the Last Supper because they're all sitting at a bench. Bible history tells us that most of the time they laid down on their side and they passed the food and they ate that way. Jesus told them don't let the men sit down or basically recline. Why? Because they was fixing to get fed.
Oh, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Sometimes we kind of misinterpret that when the Lord says sit down. Sit down means you're going to rest. Recline and get ready because you're about to eat.
Oh, hallelujah.
Glory to God. Oh, you're not listening.
Come on.
You don't come to church to get comfortable.
Oh.
Hope not. You don't come to church to rest. I woke up this morning. I said, good Lord. It's Sunday. God said, no. Good Lord. It's Sunday. My flesh would have loved to lay home and covered up. I get good blanket religion. But every once in a while, I have to repent of that blanket religion. Amen. And force myself to get up. I don't know about you, but I came into the house this morning to be fed spiritually. Through the singing, through the testifying, through the teaching, through the anointed word. Just, amen, by sitting close to a fellow Christian, I came to receive. And when you come to receive, you will not be disappointed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Make the men sit down because they're about to eat. Glory to God. About to eat. Amen. I believe with all of my heart that the Lord is preparing to feed His children. Now my question to you is what are we going to do with it? Jesus took the bread and He took the fishes and He gave thanks and He distributed them to His disciples. And His disciples in turn sit there and say, it's just for us. If they want this bad enough, they'll have to come to church to get it. What I had to do, that's what they need to do. I'll sit here and eat what I can and enjoy it. If they come, I'll share. No. He blessed it. He gave thanks for it. He knew it was from Almighty God itself. Glory to God. I take great responsibility when I stand behind this pulpit. I know that it is the awesome power of Almighty God that uses this poor vessel. I don't know why He chose me. Maybe my mouth is bigger than most. I don't know. But something He chose me, amen, to distribute to you what comes from God. Hallelujah. I can't help whether you receive it. I can't help what you do with it. I can only distribute to you what God has given to me. He kept His disciples. I give you this bread and I give you this fishes. What are you going to do with it? They in turn begin to bless and feed the multitude. Something miraculous happened. Praise God. Andrew was just passing out fish and barley loaves and he looked and it was still just as much as he started with. Glory to God. I want to set something straight right now. In case you're afraid that you're going to use up all of your Holy Ghost, it ain't happening. It ain't happening. You can't use it up. Glory to God. It's like the meal barrel. The more you produce, the more it'll come. It'll bless. It'll anoint. It'll heal. It'll open doors. It'll save souls. Don't be afraid to use that power that God has instilled within us. You can't use it up. Amen. The more you use it, the more He'll fill you. Andrew's just passing it out. And look, man, it's just... can't get rid of it. It's just more He gives, the more He receives. What are they among so many? Amen. When Jesus touches a little, it becomes a lot. Come on. Hallelujah. Some of you are getting a hold of it. Some of you can't get a hold of it. Because you can't release it to Jesus in order for Him to multiply it. I'm going to bury it. Because I know you're hard. You're hard and you're just. And I don't want to lose any of it. So I'm going to bury it. Amen. Shame on us if we have been burying our testimony. Shame on us if we have been burying our ministry. Shame on us if we've been burying our talent. The more that we use it, the more God will bless us with more. The more we reach out to others, the more He will provide. What am I among so many? I'm nothing. But through Christ, I can do all things. Put your hands together if you believe that this morning. Never-ending source of power. Hallelujah. Do we just sit idly by and allow thousands to go unfed? I'm here reading of promises of God on a daily basis. I was at a place last night and the speaker said he reads a proverb every day. He said, that's for my benefit. That's before I ever get in the pulpit. I read a proverb every day, a chapter. And he said, it is so good and it's so wonderful because it nourishes me with the Spirit. And I'm thinking, oh, that's wonderful. We can see the benefits of reading God's Word. Amen. But are we, one of the disciples, sitting idly by, consuming the fish and the bread, and looking around and said, you know what? 200 penny worth wouldn't even feed this crowd. But are we willing to take what Jesus has blessed and give us and share it with others? Don't raise your hand. Don't nod your head. When's the last time you personally shared your testimony with an unsaved person? How many remembers people sharing their testimony with us when we were unsaved? Amen. My grandmother, my granddaddy used to tell me the story over and over and over again. And then he would follow up, God is no respecter of persons. What He's done for me, He'll do for you. Amen. Remember, we were not always in this position. We were that one lost sheep. Amen. But Jesus searched, and He searched until He found us. And He brought us back into the fold. Thank God for that. Are we willing to share what God has blessed us with? What am I? Just one among so many. Yeah, but you're mighty through the hands of God. Amen. When Jesus touches the bread, it's sufficient to feed the multitude. When He touches and blesses the fish, it's more than adequate. When He touches and blesses you, you are more than equipped. Amen. To go out and evangelize the world. Jesus prepared the folks for blessing. Told them, make the men sit down. Don't ask them. Make them. Make them sit down. I'm going to feed them. Brother Eddie, I've tried to witness. And they just won't listen. Make them sit down. Tell them how serious it is. Tell them what they've got to gain and what they're about to lose. Make it serious. Make it intentional. Those of you that meet with us on Friday morning, that's our buzzword. Make it intentional. You know, if I wasn't intentional about getting into bed or getting out of bed, I'd probably still be there. I'm just saying. If I wasn't intentional, man, about opening my Bible and reading, I might be flipping channels. People kill me. They got time to read the Bible. It just takes up too much time. You know what? I'm not going to tell you the definition, but we'll, especially us men, we'll flip through that entire channel selection, and then we'll go back and do it again thinking something's going to change. It ain't going to change till at least 30 minutes. Every program is at least 30 minutes, some an hour, but every 10 minutes, going in. Well, I just thought maybe I'd catch something coming that I would enjoy, you know. But I ain't got time to read my Bible. Takes too much time to pray. Oh, brother, I pray when I need something. I pray when I need the Lord to touch me. Ooh, I'm going to get next to somebody. Have you prayed when God needs to touch me? Have you prayed when God needs to touch your neighbor? Have you prayed when God needs to touch your working people around you, your cohorts? Have you prayed for those that you go to school with? I hear so much that's going wrong in the schools, and we can attribute it to whatever, but mainly because somebody said, you don't need to pray anymore. And when you don't pray anymore, you can't blame anybody but yourself when things begin to go wrong. Wake up, church! Prayer works! Prayer works! Prayer saved me! Prayer brought me to an altar! Hallelujah. When I wasn't interested in prayer, but somebody prayed for me. Hallelujah. When's the last time you got a person really on your heart and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed until God moved them and you shared with them? But what am I among so many? What am I? What can I do? What do I have to offer? Listen, when we take what God has given us, whatever it may be, and we ask Jesus to bless it, He'll multiply it. Hallelujah. I believe that with all of my heart. He'll bless it, and He'll multiply it. I remember sitting in it was not really a revival meeting, it was more of a fellowship meeting. And the place was packed. And there were wonderful speakers there, wonderful singers. And I actually had an opportunity to sing a special, and I sung a special. And I was sitting almost to the end of the row, and my cousin was sitting on the very end. You might want to call it the window seat, right where Brother Chris is sitting, right there. And I was sitting on the other side. We was on this side, but I was sitting on the other side where Sister Tabitha would be sitting. So when I came back from singing, my cousin simply slid over, and I got the window seat. You got it? I was there, but I'm not. Now I'm over here. Okay? Everybody with me? So the service moved on, and then the evangelist got to preaching. And he got to walking out in the aisle, and he was laying his hands on folks and praying and actually prophesying about what the Lord was going to do. And he came down the aisle and he laid his hand on my head and he said, God's going to use you mightily. And after service, my cousin said, why in the world did I have to move? Amen. Listen. Man can't lay something on you and say, God's going to bless you. God can speak to you. But you know what? I told my cousin, you got the same opportunity I do. Because the blessing don't come from man, it comes from God. Hallelujah. You can be viable. You can be productive. You can be a minister. You can be someone who's testifying. Whatever God has laid upon your heart, you can, as long as God can through you. Man, if we'll offer everything that we got, here I am, Lord, take me, use me. Whatever I have to offer, I give to you. Bless it. And in return, I want to bless others. That's what two small fish can do. Amen. There's a big opportunity, a wonderful opportunity. What will it bless? Multiply. Talent. I believe with all of my heart, the more we use our talent for God, the more He will bless us. And it will bless others. Don't ever think that your singing does not touch somebody. If it's anointed of God, it touches somebody. How many believe that? I believe with all of my heart that God gets the honor and glory every time we open our mouth. And use that talent. Don't just use it for yourself. Bless others with it. If God has blessed you with a talent, use it for Him. Not only that, but our ministry. Understand that God has placed something on you. He distributed to His disciples first. They in turn distributed to the others. Take what God has given you. Take the testimony that God has healed you, that God has delivered you, God has set you free. I love the testimony, amen, of Brother Keith and Sister Ashley, because they realize what God has done in their lives. And they're not just keeping that to themselves. They're actually witnessing and telling other folks, look, here's where we were, and here's where God brought us from, and here we are where we are today. And we're giving God the honor and glory. God is blessing them because God is distributing to others through them. Man. Whatever it is. Maybe you're not called to be a pastor. Maybe you're not called to be a minister. Maybe you're not called to be an evangelist. But you have something to give. You have something to offer. The 12 disciples that Jesus chose, they were not just cookie cutter disciples. He saw something within each and every one of them that He could bless and use, and they could reach out to others. But what is this among so many? What can I do? What is the saying? How do you eat an elephant? Y'all actually eat an elephant. Most of us say, it'll never happen. I can't do that. One bite at a time. One soul at a time. One testimony at a time. One song at a time. Giving God the honor and glory. But it's so small. And what is that among so many? Lord, what is my finances? Come on. Can we get materialistic a little bit? How many of us have asked the Lord to bless our finances? Lord, I dedicate them to You. Give them to You. I want to tell you something. Many, many years ago when Penny and I were struggling, you know what we did? We brought our billfold to the altar. Said, Lord, this is a mess. We need You to anoint it. Amen. Brother Eddie, that's silly. Well, it works. It works. When I realized that it wasn't mine, it was His. And I realized, God, if I give to You what I need to give to You, You're going to supply all of my need. Thank God. It's not only our spiritual testimony, but it's our finances, our tithing, our offering. And it doesn't only include money. It's tithing of our time. Amen. Offering up our talents to God, giving Him the first fruits. Amen. Giving Him the first part of the day and what's left. Amen. We can do that. But so many times, He's the last alternative. Man. Our job. Man, I don't know about you, but I prayed every Monday morning. And I shouted every Friday. Out the door. Amen. I was telling Daddy one day, I said, Daddy, this is just ridiculous. This is the hardest thing in the world. I just don't know if I can do it. Y'all, many of y'all don't know my dad. Some of you do. Dad was very straight-faced. He could say something that would crack you up, and he would never crack a smile. But he said, son, ain't that what you asked for when you went to that place of employment? He said, didn't you ask for a job? I said, yeah. He said, well, you got it. Don't fuss about it. That's what I wanted to hear, Dave. I wanted you to put your arm around me and say, poor little thing, bless your heart. You didn't have to work that hard. But no, Daddy said, that's what you asked for and that's what you got. Amen. Man up. Come on. How many of us went to the altar and said, Lord, if you'll just save me. Don't go there, preacher. Oh, yeah. Lord, if you'll just save me, I'll do whatever you want me to do. God, I'll go where you want me to go. Just save me. Just be with me. God, I'll be putty in your hands. But don't ask me to do nothing. Because what am I among so many? You got so many other talented people to choose from. Something at you. A southpaw curve, and I'm not even a left-hander. Whew. What if every person had brought two fishes and five loaves?
Come
on, brother. What if every one of us this morning was on our knees praying, preparing for the service rather than just a few? My Lord, I'd have never got to the sermon because the Holy Ghost would have come down. It would have filled this house. People would have been saved. People would have been shouting. People would have been glorified because the power of God is greater than man. Hallelujah. Woo, if we come prepared, there's no telling. Hallelujah. Brother Terry was sharing me this morning about a storm that came up at their house, and he said he walked out on the back porch and he looked down about 150 yards where the barn was, and he said while he was watching, the wind just picked that roof up and it was headed towards his house, and he said, Lord Jesus, and it just sat right down there in the yard, never got to his house. Do you think it would be newsworthy if we shouted the roof off this morning? Some of you clapping your hands and others is looking at the roof. Those are the ones that say, what am I among so many? Some of you say, yeah, brother, let's do it. Let's shout this roof off. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then we can look at the eastern sky and it might split today. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Should the Lord come today? Hallelujah. Are you still sitting idly by? I'm just one person. What am I among so many? There's other things that we can dedicate to the Lord. Our marriage. Our marriage. Amen. I pray for my wife's husband on a daily basis. Those same people that are looking at that roof going, what did you say? It's me. And I pray for my wife. And we pray together. I didn't say we always agreed. I pray till she agrees with me. But we do pray together. I can't urge you enough to pray with your husband, your wife, your family on a daily basis. You know, well, I give a silent prayer. A silent prayer is beautiful. It's wonderful, and God hears us. But you really want to do something that's just going to make you feel so good. Just join hands with your wife and begin to pray outwardly. And pray one for another. That'll strengthen your marriage. Our family. Our families need prayer, folks. Not only our families, but the families in this world today. Isn't it horrific that we're seeing six-year-old children taken away and killed in the neighborhood as they get off the bus? Yes. And the church says, that's terrible, but what can I do?
Come on now.
We can pray. Amen. Like we've never prayed before.
Yes.
Amen. We can look at the news and get convicted of the news rather than getting entertained by the news and begin to pray for our people, our neighborhoods, our children, the buses that go by. When have you stopped to say, God, protect those children? Yeah, if mine's on there. No. It needs to get in the heart of the church, folks. Because I'm going to tell you, society's never going to do it. We all know Hollywood ain't going to do it. Our government ain't going to do it. It's up to the Christians. It's up to us to band together. Amen. And unite like we've never united before. Quit all of these little schisms and divisions and idiosyncrasies that we got between the different denominations and know that we are joined by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are heirs and joint heirs to the kingdom of God, brothers and sisters in the fight for God's kingdom. And I'm not prepared to lose it. I
don't want to give ground.
Amen. I want to march forward. The only way we're going to do that is united. What am I among so many? What are they among so many? The list goes on and on. Almost anything that you're associated with could be on this list. If I take it and I dedicate it unto the Lord and I ask Him to bless it, and then I take what the Lord has blessed and I distribute it to others. Amen. God will bless. God will anoint. Not only with our spiritual testimonies, but I'm going to share this with you. So many times we develop, and I'm going to preach to myself a little bit. We develop a negative attitude when God intends us to reach out to others. Now, I'm going to stand here and tell you today, I know that there are a lot of perverseness out there. There's a lot of con artists out there. There's a lot of people out there that could be working that are not. And they're out to get whatever you got. But I also know there are some legitimate needs out there. You have to look around and understand there's some people that are struggling. Regardless of the economy and how it's doing, and it's doing good, there are people who are struggling for whatever reason. And I know, I'm going to be like Andrew, 200 pennyworth ain't enough to satisfy that need. But what if the Lord, and this is what I have to go by. I have to go by the leading of the Lord, not by the appearance of the person, are not by the sign they're holding up, but does God check me? And when He checks me, I need to distribute to them something. If nothing more than a dollar bill and a tract about how to be saved. Come on, when we're given, never forsake the opportunity to give a testimony. As you're giving them a dollar or two for food or whatever, give them a tract or a handshake and tell them that God loves you.
Amen.
And God wants you to be saved. And God has checked me with that. But what am I among so many? Well, if everybody does that, look how many souls could be changed. If every one of us today, when we leave this church service, would have a purpose on our heart and our mind to reach out and touch one person. I'm not saying go give somebody some money unless that's what the Lord lays on your heart. But if you could just reach out to one person about their salvation. Last night the speaker said, we're often asking people, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? And that's a good way to start. But here's the analogy that he used. Tommy, help me out here. He said, I am a Michael Jordan fan. I am probably one of the biggest Michael Jordan fans that has ever been. I can tell you his statistics. I can tell you that he, in my opinion, he was the greatest basketball player ever to step on the court. He went back to his high school days and said he couldn't even get the starting job on his high school starting five, but he persevered and he made a great player at North Carolina, on with the Chicago Bulls, and so on and so on. All of these records, the Dream Team, all of these other things. He said, you can ask me anything you want to about Michael Jordan, and I can give you that. And he said, in my opinion, he's the best basketball player ever. He said, some people may differ. He said, but I'm right. He said, he's the greatest one ever. He said, but if Michael Jordan walked in that door tonight and you ask him, do you know this preacher? Michael Jordan goes, I don't know who you're talking about.
Somebody's still looking at
that. It's one thing to know Jesus. But if he walked in that door, does he know you? Does he know me? I want a relationship with him. I can't make it without him. I need him every day of my life. I can't walk without him. I can't talk without him. I don't want to do anything without him. But with him, I can do all things. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Come on, for Jesus. What can I do, Lord? What can I do? What can I give? What can I offer? Not the attitude, what am I among so many? I have an opportunity. Don't look at the small fish. Look at the big opportunity. Would you stand?
Amen.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every saint of God praying. Are you here today and you don't know Jesus and Jesus doesn't know you? Are you tired of being lonely? Are you tired of being in one turmoil after another? Do you want a change in your life? Do you want the satisfaction and the assurance that when you lay your head on your pillow tonight, you know where your destiny is? You know where you're going to spend eternity. Are you still waiting for an opportune time? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Do not put off tomorrow what you can do today. You need to come to this altar and you need to open up your heart's door and you need to ask Jesus to come in as your Lord and as your Savior. Please, nobody looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there one this morning that would come down? Is there one that needs a refreshing? Is there one that needs an attitude adjustment? Lord, help me to focus on you and on your will. Father, I pray, God, that I would be what you would have me to be. While no one is looking, if there's one in this house today that would like for this pastor to pray for you this week, would you just lift your hand? I won't come back. I won't ask you to come out. I'll just acknowledge that hand. Thank God for those hands. Thank God for those. I'm going to be praying. Church, I love you, and I want us to unite together and work for Jesus, because I don't believe we got a whole lot of time left. May God bless you. Brother Billy, would you come dismiss us with a word?
Powerful message. We come into contact with so many people during the day.